I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
All right, Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Chattel, the World Herald, and Tom McGarry, Sharp Show. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Well, the sun's out.
And you know what? We can see pavement on Dodge Street here at 50th and Dodge. Things are looking up. The snow will be gone by tomorrow.
Well, some of it might. I don't know about all of it.
Do you live in a bougie neighborhood. Did you pay a local kid to come and shovel out the driveway, or did you take care of it yourself?
Well, I married a beautiful woman who loves the snowblower even more than she loves me. So, say what you will about that, but it works. And I'm not very good on the I have a couple built-in excuses. My knee replacement.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm not very good on stuff like that. So. I kind of played the old guy card. An old guy with the old knees card. So, I'm here talking to you. Plus, yeah. I have to do a radio show.
Well, I appreciate that. And you come on a day where Nebraska football made some news. Probably not super surprising, but again, when a quarterback is involved and the head coach talked about that position a couple of days earlier, Luke McCaffrey. Tom, why didn't it work out with Luke McCaffrey at Nebraska?
Well, because he can't throw downfield, and I think that became readily apparent this year. So, you know, if I had my way, he'd be like Christian McCaffrey. You remember the play early in the Ohio State game where he started in a slot. He went back to I-back, or he was the one running back. And he took a pitch from Martinez, went to his left. He got to the corner before anybody, and he went down the sidelines. And it's probably about 40 or 45-yard game. Yeah, that's the McCaffrey, I think, that's sort of the vision I had for him. The beauty of it is he's got his own vision. Every one of these kids should chase their dream. Mm-hmm. Now, some find out that the dream changes. There's a better path. And he may find out that. But he wasn't going to be a quarterback. It wasn't going to happen. And he saw it. And as much as Frost is trying to say he could still be a quarterback, I still see it. No, he wasn't going to be a quarterback. So, he could have solved problems as a punt returner. He could catch. He could be a receiver. The Swiss Army knife. He's, you know, but that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to be quarterback. Why would he want to do what his brother? You know, little brothers don't want to. Sometimes their big brothers are their heroes. Other times they're their rival. They want to do something. You know, they want to find their own way. So I totally get that. I just don't see him as a Power 5 quarterback. I just don't see it. But somebody will prove me wrong, and I'll be rooting for him.
Hey, maybe we talked about this in the fall. That seems like such a long time ago. Going back to the Ohio State game, because the first time he touched the ball, it was – No, he went 47. I mean, you were describing that run, and we all thought, wow, here we go. You got somebody that is versatile enough that they can get the ball out of the backfield or they can catch the ball, and it's going to be a positive, a win-win for this offense. And we never really saw that kind of a combo again, whether they were afraid that now everybody has tape or whatever. But Nebraska never went back to that during the course of the season. With that said, as the season went on and we never saw that combo again that, you know, kept Ohio State off kilter for a little bit, Luke became the starting quarterback. And there was the line, Tom, he is the future. What happened?
I think that was said to keep him here, keep him happy. The coaches, a lot of the quotes are always messages.
But don't we have to stop that right now? Because that happened on Friday with some things that were mentioned.
I don't know. No, you're not going to stop. You just can't believe it. You can't believe what you hear. So that's you know, I learned that a long time ago. No, every time he played quarterback, a lot of the plays were basically he takes the snap and the shotgun, and then Chess takes off running. Well, that's not an offense. That's probably a nice play to use as a wrinkle, but it was like that's the majority of his snaps at quarterback were him taking the ball and just running. Eventually that's not going to work. So, yeah, I think it became, you know, and I'm glad that we're starting to see definition, Gary, in this offense. First 3 years, I don't know what they were trying to do. I honestly don't. Now he wants us to go downfield. He wants to throw it. And now we can argue about whether they have the pieces in place right now to do that. But it appears we finally have a definition. We finally have an identity forming. So, big running backs, big receivers, hopefully a quarterback who can throw them and where they are and complete passes. So, you know, how long is that going to take? I don't know. But it's starting right now. You've got to feel that this is where they're going. And so people are going to leave. And, you know, as much as I think he would have been great as that running back receiver guy, maybe he also, like Juan Dale, said, well, is there room in this offense for that kind of guy? We think, well, there's always room for a guy who can make plays and score. But how many carries are you going to get? If you've got a running back who's going to be getting handoffs so they can get into a second and five or second and four situations, or you're going to be throwing it to the tight ends and the receivers downfield, what's a guy like McCaffrey and Wandale supposed to do? Mm-hmm. So that might have been part of the equation too.
That was the Wandale conversation. This was really odd. You want as many good players as possible, but I don't know. There's part of me that read his comment and I'm like, wow, are they just are they completely changing the offense? Where, you know, we thought the duck R position would be, wow, that's the position. Now it's wide receivers that can get downfield. What did you make of his explanation about what the offense will look like sans Wandale Robinson's involvement?
Well, I don't know enough about. And see, I'm there are far more people to get on this show and talk X's and O's than I am. I'm probably the worst guy to talk X's and O's. I don't remember. I didn't see the UCF offense enough to know what that was really all about. But it could be very easily that Scott is. Thought he was going to do one thing, and the Big Ten showed him that he can't do that, or he can get the. It's easier for him to get the players to do another way, to do this offense. So I don't necessarily think this is a huge change. I think it's probably a tweak, but that's what's going to happen as you take over a program, and you're still a young head coach. So. You know, there are going to be adjustments made, and that's what this is, I think. And so, you recruit players to play one way, and then when you decide that's not going to work, hey, they've had three losing seasons in a row, you're going to have guys leave because there's now an outlet for them to do it. Kids grow up. With handlers, in the case of Wendell Robinson, handler, and they transfer high schools. In some cases, they transfer middle schools. And it's all about playing time. It's all about chasing that dream. And college football's always been about that. But the kids didn't always have the outlet. Now they do. And in this case, it's best for our both sides. Today's story, not a big news. It's big, but it's not really a surprise. And ultimately, it's probably not that big. So that's my spin.
Who calls the first play of the game to kick off the 21 season? The head coach or the head coach or the OC?
I don't know. How does that work?
Yeah, what now? Can I maybe you? I just let me quick ask a question here, and you may not know the answer to this, and this might be for Sam, who was in on the conversation. Was it unsolicited or part of a question that was asked about play calling that, you know, Scott brought up that, you know, he shared play calling towards the tail end of the season?
I don't know, and how I read it was, he's going to give more of it over to Lubick. But again, it's like, yeah, how do you do it? It's how do you split up play calling? You, either, and you can't, if you're in a drive and it's working, okay, it's not like play by play baseball where I'll do two innings and you do three, or you know, here. Let's give it over to Fred White. You know, he doesn't like that. So how do you do that? I don't know. I think it either needs to be all Lubick, where Scott can come in and say, all right, we need to do this. That has happened many places. I'm sure, you know, Ryan Day or Saban or Kirk Ferentz will step in and say, I'm not so fast. That I can see, but it's either going to be all Scott or all Lubick. I don't see how you, I mean, and if these guys are talking, see, the play clock is ticking. You can't be having a lot of conversation during that. You know, while the players are out there on the field staring at the sideline, okay, well, what are you doing? You know, there can't be a lot of debate going on there.
I enjoyed your reference, and anytime you can talk to Gary Anderson is a treat.
Yes.
What are your memories of Hank Aaron?
Oh, just that 74 chase. How, you know, it wasn't like the, I don't know if you saw Billy Crystal's movie 61.
Yes.
Where everybody was rooting against Maris. Wasn't like that. People were rooting for Hank Aaron to do it. And there were still enough, you know, there was still enough of a generation of people who remember Babe Ruth and were all big fans. But it was fun. You know, back then, those baseball numbers mattered. Now they don't. Nobody knows anything about the, I mean, those numbers used to be such, they used to be sacred. And now I don't feel like anybody knows any of those numbers anymore. What is the number now in home runs? Who's got it? Yeah, so on and so forth. What's the, you know, Joe DiMaggio's thing, his streak? Who's the all-time hit king? Who's the all-time strike? All these things, you used to know them, and now, but that's what I remember was the 74 chase. And for years, Babe Ruth number was so far out there that you didn't think anybody was ever going to get there. And the fact that he got there and he kept going, it was a magical moment. It was like, happened, I believe, in late April, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was like the World Series, you know, you had your radio on, you know, in school and that kind of stuff.
A couple of baseball things here. Omaha has just released their schedule. They will open up their new stadium against Creighton on March 5th. So that lets us know that Creighton and Omaha both will be able to play non-conference games. The Summit League is going to allow their teams to play a regular season. So Omaha has a 53-game schedule. But Creighton and Omaha will open up the new ballpark with a 3-game series March 5th, 6th, and 7th, which is fantastic. And then at the end of the year, the Summit League Championship tournament will be played at that ballpark. Nebraska is not on this, so that leads me to believe that it is going to be a all Big Ten schedule for that conference, which is a,
right.
which is a mistake.
Well, last year, Ed Service told me that he wanted to play that first game, and I thought that was great. I wish basketball had done that, but we won't go back into that. But I think it's just good for the whole baseball community. It's a great gesture on Ed's part, and it's just good for the whole. I mean, this is a in the high school baseball, college baseball are very good coaches everywhere in this area and in the state, and the quality is very good. So I'm not happy about that. I'm again frustrated by the Big Ten. Didn't they just? I mean, I know it's been 2 years. Since the World Series last happened, but didn't the Big Ten remember that they had a team in the championship series? That Michigan was one game away from national championship, and now they're going to take away any chance to get multiple teams in the NCAA tournament because you're not going to have any kind of RPI chance. I get it. We don't need to be traveling. Oh, like down to like Texas or Arizona necessarily, but what teams, you know, what the schools be able to get on a bus and play the midweek games against teams down the road, and you know, and this idea that you're just going to play everybody two or three times or four times or whatever, it's what it's going to mean is. There probably isn't going to be a Big Ten tournament. I don't think there's. I think conference tournaments. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Maybe COVID by May will be a totally different deal. But I don't think college basketball tournaments are going to happen. If they are, I think they're crazy. And we'll see about the baseball. Yeah. But there'll be a lot of baseball games that aren't played too, Gary. So it's not going to be perfect, but. But the Big Ten is nuts, and they don't care about baseball. And I wish that we could take college baseball. Now, the SEC wouldn't do it. But to have it almost probably like college hockey where, okay, you're in one league for football and basketball, but in baseball, you know, Nebraska could be back with the Big 8 or Big 12. They're just everybody in their own region, sort of. And – or, you know, you could kind of join any league you wanted to.
Yeah.
That used to be how college hockey was. You'd have different, you know, you'd have your, you know, the of course now that they have that Big Ten hockey. But anyway, it's frustrating. And is the Big East, what are they going to do? So all of our teams get on airplanes and they fly over the place. I don't understand how that's going to work in this day of COVID. So hopefully, again, it will sort of calm down. But anyway, it's crazy. But we're going to have college baseball. We're going to have a World Series, and that's all that matters right now.
Yeah, and let's hope by March 5th, when Creighton plays at Omaha, the snow is gone.
Keep going, son. Yeah. Keep going.
Hey, Tom, I appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
That's Tom Chattel from the World Herald. Now, you can play 56 games. Omaha just released a schedule of 53. Could there be three openings for Nebraska on there if the Big Ten allows them to play non-con? Omaha will open up with a four-game series at Oregon. They have a four-game series at Mizzou. They have three at home against Creighton. They have four at Kansas. They have three at Wichita State. BYU comes to Omaha to play at Tal Anderson Field. Everything else is non-con. So no Omaha and Creighton being played downtown. Maybe those are the three slots that could be open. But at least that's a start. On a day we get a record snowfall, we've got a Summit League baseball schedule and a great gesture to have Omaha and Creighton open up the brand new Omaha ballpark. On March 5th. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.